Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You got 5 seconds.
Fandor is proud to be a sponsor at the Sonoma International Film Festival. Thanks to SIFF for 25 years of raising the bar and elevating new talent from around the world. Bringing people together through film, food, wine, and fun. That's our kind of festival. Cheers to a great year for independent cinema.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Fandor video podcast. My name's Hooman. I'm here with the great
Chris Kelly.
And, of course,
our amazing Bryn,
making it all happen.
Oh yeah, so good to be here, guys.
Thanks, Hoop.
We're doing something very special with the Sonoma Film Festival, which is we're featuring the films that they have showing this year. They're entirely in person for the first time in a couple years, and we love Sonoma and we love the movies that they're bringing to the theaters. Our next guest, her name is Patricia Nazario. Her film is Backstreets to the American Dream. Patricia, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and then tell us what your film's about?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Hooman.
Hey. So
I'm a journalist. I was just a Daily News reporter. I was out on a story, actually, and this situation was unfolding before me, and I just thought, you know what? This is bigger than just a catch-up story. And I went back to the newsroom and I was like, you know, this is a pretty big deal. And they said, write it up in a memo. And I decided to instead chase it on my own. And I resigned about 6 months later to do the story full time.
And so tell us what the story is. Like, what's your movie about?
So Backstreet to the American Dream is a modern day look at the classic American dream. Essentially, what we do is we juxtapose these two worlds. It's this immigrant family that's They're like this long time established seafood truck, a mariscos truck near the swap meet in South LA. And then there's this pop culture overnight sensation, the first season winners of the Great Food Truck Race TV show. So they're overnight rock star success. And then you get to see these two worlds sort of unfold through the vision, through the representation of the food truck industry.
What did you learn about the food truck industry? Like, can you give us like something that might surprise us?
That's a good question. I heard it was pretty cutthroat back in the day. Like, okay, we think back in the day, oh yeah, in the 80s, I knew that mariscos truck and that taco truck, they've been parking there since the 80s. No, I'm talking like back in the 60s and 70s. I mean, these guys used to carry guns and knives and they would scrap, you know, they would like call each other out over these spots. It's a lot of money. I think we didn't really realize it until the pop culture boom, you know, but in the 70s, I mean, these guys were making like $1,500, $1,600, $1,700 a week, cash, largely.
Right.
Wow. And then like, so at like, you could have done a movie about anything. Why this topic?
Well, for me, I think what really appealed to me is my family is Puerto Rican. I was born in New York and I lived in Paramount out here in Southern California, which is like largely Mexican. I went to high school in that community and we had that mom and pop taco truck in the corner. You know, it was there night after night the whole time I was in high school. I never thought twice about it. But when the pop culture revolution started happening in Kobe and then when I saw the TV show, I was like, well, wait a minute. How does this stack up against that? And I just was curious. I just really wanted to explore those two worlds. Did one threaten the other? Did one pave the way for the other? What was the perception that led to this overnight success? And I was just really curious about the people, not so much the industry, but I think it was more about the people. So on its surface, it's like a documentary about food or maybe street food, but really it's about the people. It's about the everyday lives of these hardworking people, immigrants and Americans.
So
it's always about the people at the end of the day. And that's how, I mean, this is how we connect with each other through film. I'm excited to see this.
Awesome.
What was the hardest thing about the filmmaking process for you? Like, what was the thing that you were like, oh man, this is just getting hard, difficult?
Oh my God. Oh, that's such a loaded question. For me, honestly, I think it was editing. So, you know, I was a local TV news reporter, the one man band. So I had the camera and used to have the mic people and edit when we got back. But the longest those stories ever were, what, maybe 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes. And then in radio at NPR, at KPCC, we had the luxury of doing a bit longer pieces, 4 minutes, you know, maybe 5 minutes. And so in my head, I had convinced myself that, oh, I got the basics. I know how to shoot video. I know how to edit audio. I could put this together. And I don't think I could have been more wrong, to be honest. And so really when it came down to telling a story, a 90-minute story, yeah, it was a whole different ball of wax. And I just had to teach myself. What I did was I did a whole lot of YouTube University when I was away from home. And I would watch podcasts about how actors like Will Smith constructed their characters. And I would use that to deconstruct my story and to help me construct my characters. And I did stuff like that in my free time. And then when I was back at the computer, I'd be right back, you know, stringing out my interviews and stuff like that. So it was, I think editing for me was definitely the hardest process.
Hmm. So did you edit it yourself? So you shot this and edited, did you do everything yourself?
Basically.
Wow. Nice. That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
You didn't want to pay anyone or hire some people? You don't want some help?
I would have loved to, but editing when I started, that was some serious sticker shock. I had really good consultants, I have to say. And my attorney was by my side the entire time. He was like, you know, my angel on my shoulder. And so it mattered because they were encouraging me. And it wasn't until I heard my consultant say, well, you know, just edit it yourself. A lot of first-time filmmakers edit their own film. And like kind of when I heard him say that, it gave me permission. I didn't see myself like as a loser. I was like, because at first I just felt like, dang, you know, if I can't find anybody to edit this, I just was such a loser. And then when we had that conversation, it just kind of gave me permission to explore that. And I just went for it. I bought whatever I needed, another TV monitor, and upgraded my computer system. And then, like I was saying, you know, a whole lot of YouTube University.
Excellent. So, I mean, you got to power through these things. And I'm just excited to see the result.
Yeah, me too. So what day and time is your film playing at the Sonoma Film Festival?
So we got 2 screenings, which is so awesome. We're screening Thursday at 9:00 in the morning, which is, and then Saturday at 9:30 in the morning. So the 24th and the 26th, Thursday and Saturday at the Sonoma Film Festival.
Very cool.
So Patricia, tell us a few films that inspire you, movies that you go back to time to time just to get, you know, the feel goods.
As a documentary filmmaker, I would say the ones that really speak to me are films like Blackfish or Forks Over Knives, Food Inc. I mean, I think for me, it's always been about leveling the playing field. That's kind of what drew me to journalism in the first place. Not so much social justice, but certainly giving people a voice. And I love when journalistically I see that unfold. Killing Cove, right? That film about the dolphins, stuff like that, that just really enlightens. Like, that's kind of like a, you know, hoity-toity way to say it. But I mean, I think film is such an important way. Our society is so hungry for content. I think news has become increasingly shorter and shorter, news stories, and people just want to really have more context. And that's where documentaries come in.
Well, I think that the food movie, that there's just so much possibility in the food movie. I produced a movie called Jared Dreams of Sushi, that you know, where we got to explore, you know, it turned into a family story. It was about people ultimately, but it was
I know that film. Good for you. I didn't know you produced that. That's fabulous. In my trajectory, one of the editors I met, who I couldn't afford, was very kind and gave me a list of films to see, and yours was on that list.
Great. Okay. And, Brandon Driscoll Luttinger was the editor of that, and David Gelb, you know, went on to do Chef's Table for Netflix, the director. They still work together on a whole bunch of different stuff and are good guys and good friends. So,
oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. So, Patricia, how can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, so the film is backstreetfilm.com. And by the way, I just want to give a shout out to Jaritos. They are our film festival partner, our promotional partner, and of course, Dolores Huelta, our executive producer. And my personal website is patricianazario.com. And yeah, we're here. So please reach out.
Fantastic. This is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, Patricia, we wish you nothing but the best. Congratulations on Sonoma. You're going to love the film festival. There's nowhere quite as beautiful. The people are so warm and welcoming. I have a feeling something really good is going to come out of that festival for you.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you guys for taking the time for having me and discussing this film. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Patricia.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
You got 5 seconds.
Fandor is proud to be a sponsor at the Sonoma International Film Festival. Thanks to SIFF for 25 years of raising the bar and elevating new talent from around the world. Bringing people together through film, food, wine, and fun. That's our kind of festival. Cheers to a great year for independent cinema.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.